to you. We acknowledge how great you are. Father, may your greatness be what we worship today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, you know when the preacher takes his coat off, he's planning on being here a while. Amen. Have a little baggage I've got to take on here today. I appreciate Alan letting me use his old army rucksack here. I know he's carried this many mile, and I appreciate him being willing to let me use it. I try not to tear it up here. As you all know, my sermon today, what I'm going to share with you, comes from one of those experiences that those of you been coming for a while are getting familiar with. When I have some kind of experience, I put it in terms of everything I ever needed to know I learned going along with Robert Fulghum and the book that he wrote a number of years ago, Everything I Needed to Know, All I Ever Needed to Know, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And he talks about the simple things. Well, mine today is everything I ever needed to know I learned while on a diet. Most of you know I've been on a diet for the last year. Not exactly a year. The last few months it hasn't been that extensive of a diet. I've been just trying to hold my own pretty much. But I've lost a total of 100 pounds. And I just wanted to share with you today some of the things kind of go along with that. But first of all, I want to remind you about what Robert Fulghum said, about some of the simple things that he was reminded of. He talked about how he didn't learn the things that were really important weren't learned in the classroom or at the graduate school level, but that the simple things, that the really important things that he learned were found, that he learned in the sandbox while at Sunday school and such as that. This is what Fulghum said. These are some of the things he said, I have learned. If you want to read along with me up there, I don't want to stand in anybody's way. All I really needed to know, he says, I learned in kindergarten. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. That's always a good one. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some. And draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. Wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. This morning, I want to read to you some scripture. It's all going to be up here on the screen, but I'm going to use a number of passages, and if you're interested, you might want to write them down and go back and look at them later. But I want to share with you six simple things that I learned while on a diet. The first of those, well, just to read a scripture for you to begin with, comes from Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. And hear these words. Read them with me. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it, and may our hearing of that word inspire us and move us to grow closer and stronger in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the first thing that I learned while on a diet was, number one, you have to make a decision. We've got to make a decision before we can do anything of any importance in life. Before we can make any kind of change, we have to decide that we want to change, that we're going to do something. Now, when I decided, when diet was talked, I knew months, years that I need to diet and to lose weight for my health, and I just feel better. But talking about it just didn't get a whole lot done. You had to make a decision to do it, to take the steps to do it. Now, it's a scary thing to make a decision to do something like that. Any big change in our life, when we choose to make a change in our life, it's kind of scary because it means giving up something. And for me in particular, on a diet, it means giving up food. It means giving up cookies and cake and biscuits and potatoes. All of those wonderful foods that I have come to love and enjoy so much. It means living life differently. Instead of going out to eat at Fats on Thursday night when it gets kind of late when Renee comes home and both of us are tired and neither one of us wants to spend a lot of time in the kitchen, it means going to the refrigerator and digging out a lean cuisine and heating that bad boy up. And you'd be surprised how good a lean cuisine can be when you've had nothing but meal bars during the day. But it means living differently, changing your way of life. Making a decision means that. Well, I'll tell you what, we can relate this in our walk with Christ. Living for Jesus means that we have to make a decision. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, you have it on the board up there. Joshua says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Folks, we have to choose to serve Jesus. We have to make that choice. Joshua chose to serve the Lord and his whole household. But you know something about it? It is a choice, folks, that each one of us has made or needs to make. Not everyone who is presented with the good news of Jesus Christ chooses to follow it. If there had been, there would have been no people left out among those in Jesus' day. But there were. We know of instances that the Bible records. There was the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus told him. And what happened? He went away sorry because he had great wealth and riches. He wasn't willing to depart. He did not choose to follow Jesus. One of the disciples, one of those in the group that was following him, said first, you know, Jesus said, "Come and follow me." He said, "Well, let me go bury my father first." And Jesus said, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom of God." Not all choose to follow Jesus. We must make a choice. We must. Peter made that choice. Jesus didn't make him follow. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And what did Peter do? And James and John and Andrew along with them? They laid down their nets and they followed Jesus immediately. We have to choose. This is a scary decision too, folks. It's not an easy thing to choose to follow Jesus because it's going to take us out of what's comfortable in our lives and what's normal at that point and what we're used to, and it's going to cause us to change our way of living. It's going to make us change our diet, so to speak. It means giving up some things that we may enjoy right at the moment and some activities that may seem to bring us the most pleasure. But I promise you, to make that decision, you will never give up anything that you will ever ultimately miss. God will supply. Make a decision, folks. We must make a decision to choose Jesus. The second thing that I learned while on a diet was that you need to tell someone. Now, when I first started this diet, I decided, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to say anything to anybody about it. Because why? Can you guess why I didn't want to tell anybody? Because in case I didn't do it, I didn't follow through, I didn't want to look stupid in front of everybody. But you know, after a few days, or it may have been a week into it, I decided, you know, that I really need to let people know about this. because that does something. I think Daniel was probably one of the first ones I told here at the church, working in the office with her, because she'd always be handing me candy bars and, you know, things like that, you know, or I'd get invited to go down to Glenda's for lunch on Monday after, you know, eat leftovers that they had had, something like that. So I needed to let them know that I wasn't mad with them and didn't want what they had, but I just needed to let them know that I had tried to change something there a little bit. Telling takes you to a deeper level of commitment. When you make it known what you're doing, you've stuck your foot out there in the deep water then, folks. You're treading on tenuous ground, so to speak, because you've laid yourself out there and you've made it known what's happening. Living for Jesus means making a public declaration of who it is you're placing your whole life and your whole trust in. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Folks, we must. Part of what we are as Christians is that confession. Part of who we are and who we will become rests upon that confession of Jesus Christ, because it means that we're going to be looked at differently. It means accountability to the way we live and the image and the attitude and the way we relate with one another and those who aren't saved. It commits us to live what we say, not just in word, but in deed. We can't be closet Christians any longer when we make that confession, because the world is looking at us. So I say to you today, be bold. Be bold. Confess Jesus Christ. The third thing that I learned while on a diet is that it's easier with someone to support you. It's easier to do with some help. When the diet was started, Renee and I started together. You know, it's tough to be the Lone Ranger out there. It'd have been impossible for me to maintain a diet if Renee had been cooking cakes and pies and pumpkin rolls and biscuits and gravy. Not that she cooks any of those things anyway, but if we'd have been going out to eat, if I hadn't had somebody to say, "No, we're not going out to eat. We shouldn't be doing that." I need that support and the accountability that comes with it. You know, one of the things that when we first started on the diet, one of the things that that Renee would ask me and I would ask her each night when we get home and get together, "What have you eaten today? You eat like you're supposed to today?" Well, sometimes we did and sometimes we didn't, but it helps. When you've got to tell somebody and confess to somebody else, and hopefully she didn't lie to me. I know I didn't lie to her too many times probably. But it helps when you have to be accountable to someone. Living for Jesus means that we don't have to do this thing alone, folks. We don't have to be a Christian alone. Amen. The Scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25. "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Folks, we need to be together with fellow believers, with other Christians. We need to be in God's house, in the church. We need to come together, just like with the kids I was telling this morning. We need to come together so we can grow in strength, so we can grow in our walk with the Lord. We need that support and that mutual help that each other supplies. We don't have to do it on our own. Isn't that great that I don't have to be a Christian? I don't have to be God's only person. That I have help. I have each one of you to lift me up when I'm down. And it's amazing. You can tell me the same thing that I'm fixing to say. How many times when you're down and when you just feel like it's just about all you can take, that you get a call from someone that just lets you know that you care, that they care. Or you get a card, or you get an email, or you run into somebody who says something. It happens to me just all the time. And I know it happens to you if you're walking with the Lord. If you're in touch with Him, you know that you don't have to do it alone. That's the great news about and what God does for us. He gives us that strength that when we don't have the strength ourselves, a brother or a sister does. He gives us that support that when we can't see anything positive about our own lives, somebody else does. And He gives us that love that when we feel like we're the most detestable person on the face of the earth and we failed Him so, we just feel His grace and His love flood our lives. Christianity is based on community. I'm not going to say that you can't go to heaven and never come to church, but to be in full touch with God and to be fully in His will, we got to be in the fellowship with other believers. Be a part of the body. Be a part of the body. The fourth thing that I learned while on a diet. It's easy to give up when you splurge. Anybody ever been on a diet and splurged? You know somebody that has? Well, right here, you know two now. That's me. It's easy to give up after you've splurged. You know, after that weekend that you've had company in from out of town, and you know, you're not going to feed your company meal bars and milkshakes and lean cuisines and healthy choice. That'd be right rude, wouldn't it? And you know, you can't feed them all this good food and yourself be eating stuff like that. So you have to eat along with them. You know, you go on vacation. Who wants to go to Savannah, Georgia, and eat meal bars or lean cuisines? I mean, you've got to have some seafood when you go down there. You got to go to Lady and Sons. Yeah, that's where we went, wasn't it? Lady and Sons. Paula Deen's place. There ain't no diet food at Paula Deen's restaurant, folks. There ain't no such thing. You can't do it. When you have the holidays and all the good food that goes with it, it's hard to stay on a diet. And you know what? It's okay when you're on a diet to splurge every now and then. Nobody that I know of can be on a diet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year from now on, world without end, amen. It just can't happen. We can't do that. So it's okay to splurge. But when Monday morning comes, you got to say, okay, I'm back on the wagon again. You got to say, I'm starting. I'm picking it back up. But you know what? After you splurge for a weekend or for a week, it is so easy on Monday morning to say, I believe I'll just wait till Tuesday. Or maybe I'll just wait till maybe Thursday or Friday. Well, it'll be the weekend then, so I'll wait till next Monday. One more week won't hurt. You do that, and before you know it, you're right back where you started from, all the way right back there. Living for Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect people. Let me say that again. Living for Jesus doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make a mistake. Now, that doesn't mean to say, well, since you're living for Jesus today, you go out and splurge every now and then, just sin all you want to. That's not what I'm saying. But that you and I, because we are human beings and because we are prone to sin, we will fall and fail from time to time. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. Paul says this, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Satan would have us believe, folks, that we can never be good enough and that we should just give up. Satan would have us believe, yeah, you've sinned. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You can't. But that's a lie. Because it's not our works, it is God's grace that justifies and sanctifies. God's grace, folks. Rely upon God's grace. The fifth thing that I learned while on a diet was that the extra weight makes it almost impossible to exercise, which makes it harder to lose weight. Any of you familiar with Catch 22? You know, it's a military thing, I think. I don't know if it's actually true or not, but the only way you could get out of the Army was to be crazy, and the only way you could be crazy was to want to be in the Army. So if you, the only way then you could get out of the Army was to say you were crazy, which meant that you weren't crazy and you couldn't get out of the Army. Well, this is kind of a catch-22. You can't lose weight because you don't feel like exercising. It just compounds itself. Well, for me, I had no energy. I didn't feel like doing anything. I didn't even want to walk to the mailbox. If I could have, I'd have just mashed a button and let the refrigerator roll up to me and, you know, just reach in and get it out. No energy. No desire to do anything. I couldn't even go. As much as I like to play golf, I didn't even feel like playing golf because after a few holes, I was just worn out. And that was in riding the cart. Couldn't even begin to think about getting out and playing flag football or get out here and play volleyball in the afternoon, and I'm so sore the next 2 months that I can't even hardly walk. That extra weight kept me from being able to do the things that I wanted to do and enjoy the things I wanted to enjoy. If we're living for Jesus, or living for Jesus, means that we have been set free from our burden. Now I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30 again. That's the first passage I've read, but I want you to read it here from the Message. I love the way it says this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In Jesus, we have someone who has suffered, someone who has borne the burden, has carried the weight of the cross, the weight of the burden of the sins of the entire world, past and present and future. He bore those sins, the weight of those sins, so that we might be set free. Brennan, Alan, would you come up here? That feels good. Thank y'all. That was 100 pounds that Brenning loaded on my back there while I was talking. The same amount of weight that I lost. Took two pretty strong guys to manage that, to get it off my back. Jesus, through His suffering and death, has borne our punishment. And He's taken the weight of sin and guilt and shame off of our backs. And we don't have to bear it any longer. We don't have to bear it any longer. The sin in your life that's keeping you from being all you're called to be was washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Are you worn out today? Are you just don't know how you're going to cope with the situations in life that you're facing and the things that are coming up, the decisions to be made, the choices at hand? Well, let Jesus have it all. Let Jesus bear that burden. Just like Alan and Brennan picked that up off my back, Jesus can pick the burdens up that you carry, the burdens and the sins that you have unresolved sin and burden. He can take it all in an instant. In an instant. Let Him set you free from your burdens. The sixth thing, and I'm going to come back to that there. The sixth and final thing that I learned while on a diet is that once the weight is gone, the old clothes just don't fit any longer. All right. How do I look? I better zip my britches up. It's just a little large for me here now. You know, it was literally right now, there's nothing in my house, clothes-wise, or in my closet, or in my chest of drawers, or anything, that I was wearing a year ago, except maybe some socks. My shoes, I guess, I still wear them. But everything, literally everything that I have to wear is new, or new to me anyway. Living for Jesus means that we are new people. New people. Colossians 3, 8 through 11. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Those old clothes that we like to hang on to and wear, they no longer fit us once we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. We have been made new. And there must be a different look. There must be a different appearance to our lives. Today, I invite you to learn as I have learned, and to make that decision to publicly confess, to be part of the fellowship of the body of Christ, to rely on grace. And the two most important things is to allow God to take that burden from your heart, from your life, to let Him pick it up and set it to the side, and to put on new clothes. Not clothes made of cloth and fiber and thread and elastic. I know this looks funny when me doing this. But the principle is there. Okay, good. Nothing else came off. Allow God to clothe you in new clothes. Not human clothes, but in the clothing of righteousness because of His grace. Amen. I invite you today, as we sing our closing song, that if you have a burden too heavy to carry, that if it's as heavy as this rucksack here, I don't know if I can even hardly pick it up here by myself. Oh, it's all I can do just to get it up off the floor. I'd hate to think that I had to sling that thing back up on my back now by myself. Christ takes it away. And it's not for a little while, but it's forever. Amen. Allow Christ to take the burden from your heart, from your back, from your life. Let Him clothe you in righteousness. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your greatness, for Your love, and for the wonder of Your Word. Lord, may You speak to our hearts this day. May You bring us closer to You. And Lord, if there is a burden on any heart today, I pray, Lord, that You will lighten their load and that each one here can experience the easiness of Your yoke. All this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.